Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I'm your host, JP. Joining, as always, Nick Martin. How are you, bud?
What's up? I'm good, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. We're up a little bit earlier than normal today.
Well, you're up early. I've been up since 3. I skipped the gym, so I'm going to hit it as soon as we're done.
Okay, fair enough. Today on the show, man, I'm really, really excited for this guy. Not only is he an NBA analyst, he is the host of a morning sports talk radio show called Righter Than You on CBS Sports Radio. I've been listening to him for years. We finally got him on Dadcast. Big fan. Welcome to the show, Mr. Bill Ryder. How are you, man?
What's up, guy? I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I'm pretty excited for this. Being a radio guy myself, we might end up talking a lot of shop here, even though, as mentioned earlier, I work in a different genre, but I'm a huge sports fan, so this should go well. Nick will probably just hang out on the sidelines for the entire show, but
pretty much.
We'll see how it goes, man. So as a rite of passage, Bill, are you a dad?
I am. I'm a dad of a 12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son. And as you dads know, they're the center of my universe. And as my daughter discovered yesterday, occasionally what happens as a dad goes on the show. And my wife, being my wife, played that clip for my daughter. So she was mad at me for about 2 hours. But I am a proud papa. Love my kids. And you guys know it's the best journey on earth, and it is so hard sometimes.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's the most difficult job I've ever had, and it doesn't end ever.
Yeah. You're getting into the fun part with your daughter, too, man. Oh. She's almost a teenager. You're kind of screwed.
Yeah, we had the first dude reached out ever for permission to, like, see if they could hang out, and my head exploded. I don't know where you guys are at, but I'm in LA.
12. Hell no.
Hell no is right. Yeah, so yeah. I shamed him on national radio. And then
nice. That is the beauty of the job that we have. My daughter, my oldest, she's my stepdaughter. She's going to be 17 in December. And she's been going through the 14 going on 30 phase since 14 years old. And I had many opportunity to go on the air and basically, you know, you ain't doing it. Anyone listening to my voice who has any intention of hanging out in any form or fashion with my daughter, no. Not exactly. Freaking happening. But it's crazy, man, especially at that age with daughters. You know,
yeah, I think the best is say, yeah, you can hang out, bring them over for dinner. I put on a tank top. I'm tattooed. I look kind of mean. Yeah, you know, they usually don't come back.
I need to start working out and getting some tattoos, or have you over for that dinner.
There you go.
Just give a little extra threat message there.
The thing you don't know, though, about Nick, he's only like 5'2". So, you know, it's like an intimidating Frodo.
That's right. Hey, you know what? Nick, Sylvester Stallone's on the line.
Yeah. I'm intimidated. It'll work.
So 12, and so your boy's the younger. So you actually, the daughter is of the older age. I'm reversed. My son is 11, and my youngest daughter just turned 8 years old. Little Miss Sassy Frass. She gets to see everything that older sister and older brother does, yep. And then likes to push the limit to see what she can get away with. So I'm definitely thought I'm in trouble now. No, in a few years, then that comes along, it's going to get even worse. How is it with your boy, being that you are nationally syndicated radio guy? Is he old enough to realize yet that dad is kind of a quasi famous celebrity type?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. So yes, in part because of COVID, everything moved in the house. So they built. So I've got the radio thing, and I do a TV thing for CBS. They built like a little TV studio in the house. And that's the first time my son realized that people actually care sort of what his dad thinks. Although his entire sort of thought process is, does that mean you make enough money to buy me more Legos? And it's like, no, no more Legos, no more superheroes. But he does know. I mean, he is aware, and it's kind of it's a weird thing because I mean, I live in a neighborhood of ridiculously famous people. I'm from Iowa, right? I'm from Iowa. I didn't see the ocean until I was 20. I didn't step foot in LA or New York until I was in my 30s. But we somehow live in this very nice part of LA where there's all these crazy famous people. And my son is confused when Zac Efron or Steve Nash or whoever it is don't know me. I'm like, dude, daddy's like a Z-level Z level,
right.
Not even celebrity, whatever the person that some people know in some cities, but they're definitely aware. And it's an interesting dynamic as they get older.
That's funny. And the answer to that question about more Legos, I give to my own son is a simple and definitive no. I work in radio, son. You'll understand one day.
Yeah, you know? No, it's funny.
I wish I had your willpower, JP. Like, I go to the store and it's all about the baby shark toys. Every time I go to the store, I buy a new baby shark toy.
Well, don't get new. Okay, and Bill, so Nick is, he just, by the way, happy birthday, brother. This is the first recording of a podcast we've done since you've had your birthday. Just turned 42.
All right.
And he has a one-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Early. Are you sleeping though? Are you through the line?
I have six kids, man. My oldest is 22.
You have six kids? Yes.
Yeah. So my oldest, I was done, man. I was like done. My youngest before this little guy is 15. So I was like, oh, man, they got like six more years. They're going to be moved on doing the thing. I was fixed. I got remarried. My wife's like, hey, let's have a baby. So I was like, all right, let's do this. So we did it.
So you got unfixed.
I got unfixed. Went to IVF. Because
I'm fixed. And I don't want my wife to know that one can get unfixed.
Yeah. We'll edit all that out.
Mrs. Ryder, if this ever gets to you, this is all false.
That's right.
This is not actually.
It doesn't work. It's a lot of pain.
We're in an episode of Inception here. It's not possible.
The word is, it's like with the Legos. Hell no. I love my kids. I'm good. Two, I mean, because you're in zone coverage. I mean, man to man. That's right. Enough. Six, man.
Nick, yeah, so you understand that's a football reference.
That's yes, I understand. Okay. I did play football, surprisingly enough.
Defensively, to be honest. Oh, don't worry. We're going to get there. I'm going to go right up your alley, Bill. I know you've already discussed 3 hours this morning already and countless hours in the history of your life, but we're going to get there. I'm totally excited to pick your brain when it comes to that. But Nick, yes, I can't go anywhere with either of my children. The oldest is kind of good. She just wants like clothes and Amazon gift cards. But the 8-year-old and the 11-year-old, they're still, Daddy, will you buy me Roblox? And the son wants Fortnite crap and anything you can download. And lately, it's all about energy drinks for kids, if that even is such a thing. It's called G Fuel. And I'm like,
wait a minute. Is that Mountain Dew stuff?
No, it's like a powder, but they make it in energy form, and then they make like sugar-free, non-make your kids go crazy versions.
Just what our kids need. They're already hyper enough, so let's give them some more crap.
Well, it's a good idea. It's gaming fuel.
So whoever invented that needs to get their ass kicked.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact.
Or hang out with my kids for 5 hours.
Let's just line that inventor up with this kid who, by the way, the kid that wanted to hang out with my daughter, he's an eighth grader, she's a seventh grader. Let's just line them up together and we'll just hire someone to kick some ass.
I'm in. I'll fly down. I'm from Southern California, man. So
you are?
Yeah, I got any excuse to come home. So I listened to your show and you mentioned you live in a shack in the middle of a. What exactly area, if you want to share, what town do you live in?
So we live in Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
In LA, which is awesome. It's a little beach community. I mean, we moved to LA 7 years ago when my kids were 4 and 1 and I didn't know anything about LA. I had to move last minute where they were launching Fox Sports 1. I got hired to work there. And so we settled on a little tiny house, it looked like a hobbit hovel made of dirt.
Nick would love it.
It might have been. Actually made of dirt. And then we moved to Brooklyn and we moved back and we got this, we actually like couldn't find a place, couldn't come out. So we just had a realtor just rent us a place in our budget. We show up, it's tiny, it's cool. It's a tiny little cottage and we are surrounded by mansions. And so the first, we moved back, my daughter, we're flying back to LA and she'd never brought up boys before. This is almost 2.5 years ago, right? So she's probably 9 or 10. And she has this crush on Zac Efron because he's in some movie she saw on the plane. I'm just like, oh my God, it's starting. We're driving to the house and she goes, Daddy, do you think Zac Efron, we're going to meet Zac Efron because, you know, it's LA. Like, oh yeah. And she's really sad we're leaving New York. Oh yeah. I'm sure he'll meet Zac Efron. I'm sure he's around. We pull into this alley where our house is and straight in front of us is a giant mansion. Swear to God, Zac Efron is standing there. Screaming. Turned out Zac Efron was our neighbor for 3 days. I turned to my wife. I'm like, we got to get the bleep out of here. We cannot live in this house.
Right.
But he mercifully moved. So, yeah, I'm in this tiny little shack And there's normal people around me, but there's a bunch of crazy celebrities who just live in the neighborhood.
Well, you know, that's not a horrible thing.
Well, while we're on Zac Efron, Zac is a dad.
Oh, so,
since we're name dropping, but Zac Efron, if you actually happen to watch this, we would love to have you on the podcast.
If I see him, he hasn't been around in a while. I didn't know he was a dad.
Yeah, he had a baby, I guess, like 3 or 4 years ago. It's kind of, he doesn't post about it too much, but.
Hey. Well, if you're going to name drop. Turns
out we have an agent that works for Disney that happens to know who he is. So
he's actually, okay, I could say this because I'm pretty certain this episode won't drop prior to us announcing, but Stafford, we're probably going to get Stafford on the show.
Oh, that's great.
In fact, he's already committed. We just need to figure out a date because, you know, schedules are a little bit hectic right now for NFL stars.
He's supposed to be a great dude too. Like he's supposed to be a great guy. That's awesome.
But so yeah, we're looking forward to that. But Ted, he's a huge Rams fan. And he's like, yeah, I'll get you Stafford. Yeah, just let us know when. We're like, sweet.
Tomorrow.
they're prepping, Nick. Well, let's give us some time. It's all right. We don't need to get him right away. We got Bill. All right. We got Bill friggin' Ryder. He's Ryder than you. Great name, by the way. I always wanted to tell you that in person. Okay. Now you threw me all off. We're starting to, we're talking about name dropping. If you want a name drop, you know, this guy personally knows Jim Rome. So yeah, we'd love to get him on, but that's one of my bucket lists. You were on that bucket list. Check. We've got, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson. We'd love to get him on, Jim Rome. And then of course, Nick really, really wants Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Rome would be great. I mean, and I know Jim professionally, he's been amazing to me, but when I've talked to him sort of in passing, when I've been on a TV show, he's a dad.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of his life too.
But he's just so busy. And he'd probably yell at me.
He's such a good person. Like, I don't know him well enough. I would never call him and have a beer with him. He's just been amazing to me professionally and everybody else that he's interacted with. But he is such a good dude.
Yeah.
And not everybody, you know this, not everybody is in this business.
Right.
Far from him. He's one of the good guys. He really is.
No, I was and I could talk about this on the podcast because I have no shame. I no longer work there. But when I heard you last week covering for Bill on Friday, or excuse me, for Jim, I was like, yes, I finally get my Ryder fix because they ungraciously just yanked. Why? I'm telling you, just one morning you were not on, and it's Dan Patrick. And I'm like, did something happen? Did what is going on? So I still know the program director of the sports station, and I called him up and I was like, dude, what is going on? Because I always complain with him. You know, anytime, you know, an imaging piece drops or overlaps something else, I like to give him shit. Yeah. And, you know, I call him on it. And he gets all super sensitive. You know how radio goes. It's fun. Well, and I no longer work with him, so I can just totally mess with him. But I'm like, what's going on? He's like, well, competition across the street, AM 730 at the time, is no longer. And they were carrying a lot of the Fox shows and had Dan Patrick. And he said, well, we had an opportunity to get the number one morning radio show for sports out there, and we took it. I'm like, so no more Bill? He's like, no, man. Sorry. Oh, man, so
think younger. Although Dan's great. I mean, that's a talented, he's a talented dude.
But yeah, I was pretty bummed, man. So now
I'm bummed to hear it.
Yeah, it sucks. But we get you when we cover you. And if anyone, and of course, come on, we live in 2021. If I really, really, really want to take an effort, I can just whip this out Bluetooth and on the fence there, and then we're good. So I'm just so like the habit of just hitting that button and going, yes. Anyway, so that's the story of no longer hearing Bill Ryder in Southern Oregon. Sorry, man.
I love Oregon too. I mean, it's such a great market. My wife and I used to drive up there before the kids got so old. We were full-time taxi drivers for soccer and various sports. We just drive from LA to Portland, just drive around Oregon, man. It beautiful country.
Yeah. Portland is, we're Southern Oregon. So Portland is kind of scary, especially for the blue collar. Don't get me wrong. That's exactly. I'm from LA and big city. It's cool. But the last couple of years with this, the state of the world and everything, it's,
the world's messed up.
It can be a scary place, especially overnight and especially during the election years.
Northern California to Southern Oregon is some of the prettiest places I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah, it's a good place to live. Like right now, we're in a spot where in the morning it's 50 degrees, in the afternoon it's hitting 90, and at certain times of the year you can go to the ocean and surf, you can head inland and ski, and then decide to take a rafting trip all in the same day, and then if you really have the energy, you can go hiking.
So, I mean, life is good.
Life is good. I don't know why you want to leave so bad, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Where are you going?
I want to go. I want to move to Vegas. I want to get to the hub of where everything that we do with Dadcast is happening.
So. Oh, dude, I like Vegas. I don't know. I mean, I once did an eight-day bachelor party and barely survived, so I don't know if I could live there. But Vegas is fun.
Is this?
I live on the outskirts. I wouldn't live on the Strip. I would stay away from the Strip. I would just, you know, kind of. There's some really nice towns on the outskirts that are just like Southern Oregon.
But I mean, 85 degrees hotter on any given day.
It is hot. It is hot, Vegas.
That's why God made swimming pools.
So that bachelor party, I'm assuming that was prior to being a dad?
No. So my brother, who I love, my best friend, but he's 3 years younger than me. He was a, never do well. Was a wild dude. He's like, if I ever get married, you got to come to an 8-day bachelor party. Promising that felt like promising if you ever dunked on Jordan, I would do something crazy. And then he like met a sweet girl and settled down. And I was like, oh shit, I got to go. So we did, it was 8 days. I mean,
That's like hangover status right there. 8 days.
I mean, I knew a casino owner from my MBA days who took us to a club I would never access. David Guetta would never have gotten in. And we lost one of my brother's best friends who was down to his last $13. And we found him, long story short, we found him, we thought he was dead. We found him 24 hours later, passed out in our room, and we turned him over and he had two black eyes. And we checked his pulse. He was alive and we couldn't wake him up. So we went to eat. We came back up. He had like $31,000 in chips in his pockets. He was down to $13. He doesn't know how he got it. He has two. It was, I behaved, but a lot of people that bachelor party did not. We did everything but burn down the hotel room.
Oh, that's a great story. I'm actually heading to Vegas tomorrow. What is it? No, it's Tuesday. I'm leaving Thursday. Okay. Full disclosure. Papa is a huge, 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 huge Raider fan. So I'm going to see the Raider game against Miami. Where I'm fairly certain that, because I'm not convinced. Remember, I'm a Raider fan, so I know this team. So they're probably going to go 2-1 because why wouldn't they? They're playing a winless Miami team who couldn't do squat. Right. So, of course, they're going to lose that game. But they get past that and go 3-0. I'll be like, maybe hold a little hope. But
so I'm going to give you another scenario. They're playing at home. This is like, isn't this like the first season they're playing in their new stadium?
First
like,
season with fans allowed back with in.
Fans, right?
Yeah.
They're going to go 3-0.
It is Miami. Yeah, they should. But keep in mind, Raider fan, I know what happens. They'll probably go 8-0 and then lose the final friggin' 9 this year.
I'm not a Gruden guy, but they look good. I mean, so they've beaten the Ravens and the Steelers. Is that right? I mean, those are good wins.
Yep. And then this morning's power rankings come out, and I don't hold much stock in power rankings, but you've got both the Chiefs and the Ravens above the Raiders. Raiders beat. That. Yeah, you did.
I did power rankings, and I had the Raiders 6.
It's 6?
The Chiefs 2 and the Ravens 4. Yeah.
Oh, see, if the Raiders beat the Ravens, who beat the Chiefs.
I know.
I know. You know why? Because it's Raiders. It's the Raiders. I know. And that is the hump that we need to get over. Oh, we just need to make the playoffs, man. But Derek Carr looking good, and
he looks great.
Defense
looks good.
We do need Derek Carr on the podcast, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We're trying, man. We got the hookup in Vegas. It's going to happen. Brian Lindsay's going to work his magic. We're gonna get him. But again, busy. And once Stafford comes on, okay. Now we're going to need to get 31 other quarterbacks on the show.
I mean, Stafford, that's A level. That's A level right there.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait for that one, man. That's gonna be good stuff. Now he's in LA. Oh, are your kids sports fans? Are they
So it's interesting. I talk about sports for a living and I love sports, but when I watch sports, I watch them for work. I'd never been a soccer fan ever. Like I played it, but I'd never been, and I've kind of gotten into soccer as just a way to watch sports and not have to worry about what I have to say on the radio or on TV. So they're huge soccer fans. They play, they love the Lakers, which is really difficult for me. I mean, I don't dislike LeBron, but I've covered LeBron my whole career. Yeah. And I'm from the Midwest. So it's really weird to have kids who are like LA fans, but yeah, so I promised to take them a Lakers game, a Rams game, a Dodgers game. So I'm basically going to be poor for the rest of the year. I mean, I had no idea how much money parents spend on sporting events until my kids got a little bit older, because I've always gone for free, right? I just get a credential and I go. Yeah. And I'm like, it is outrageously, it's hundreds and hundreds.
You got to buy the jersey. You got to buy the hats. You got to get the food.
Thankfully, they're not drinking beers yet.
That's right.
Oh my God. Daddy drinks beers. So I'll get two beers and an ice cream. It's $89.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You can get a hotel room with the cable, with the game on the TV and the Sting for cheaper than that.
That's exactly it. But they know they love sports. And it's interesting because I live in this community where there's a lot of athletes and a lot of pressure on kids at a crazy young age to perform. I mean, I've seen 5-year-olds get yelled by their dads at ISO games and like, we're going to watch 3 hours of tape today. So we kind of take a very no pressure philosophy on sports with our kids, because I play a lot of sports. I talk about sports. We're surrounded by sports, and they on their own just sort of pick them up and love them. Like if they want to do piano and not do sports, cool. But they are huge sports fans.
Now you're a big tennis fan.
I am.
Yeah. Now does ping pong, in your opinion, relate into the tennis world?
It relates in the sense that I look like on an athlete scale 1 to 10, I'd be a 2, and I dominate that sport too. I love table tennis.
Okay.
I got some. So okay. I went to a wedding. I went to a wedding. I was in a wedding a month ago with my cousin in Wisconsin. Didn't know any of the guys because my cousin, she was getting married. The groom put me in to be nice. And so I whooped up on these poor fools before the wedding. I love table tennis.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So God, if you're a religious man or believe in that sort of thing, gives people gifts. All right. I got two of them in my opinion. One is this gloriously perfect voice.
This is a good voice.
Another is ping pong.
Oh, okay.
Gauntlet has been thrown. If and when I ever get the chance to meet you in person and there's a friggin' ping pong table there, done. You and I, mano y mano. And I think maybe if I want to up the ante here, you already have your status in the world that is sports radio. We are this podcast is actually, it's growing beyond levels we ever imagined. Okay, I knew it would, but it's going much faster than we expected it to. In fact, we just eclipsed, I think, over 150,000 followers on all social media. And the one thing that is
185,000.
Okay, see, there we go. And the only thing that is minute at this point, which is my baby, is the YouTube channel I'm trying to get to heights. But everything else is like huge. Anywho, I'm thinking charity, ping pong, Ryder versus Pierce. Yep. And we donate, you know, half of whatever proceeds to each, you know, you pick one, we'll pick one, and it should be fun. But I'm going to save that for when we are over 1 million.
All right, JP, I'm in.
Social media. Let's go. Yeah, and it's right here.
I mean, you might be inviting the fox into the hen house, though. I'm just telling you.
I feel like an idiot. Yeah, that's funny you say that.
You went with the safe challenge.
You have no idea. You know what I like?
Gauntlet down on a UFC fighter. I'm like, I'm going to kick your ass.
Can I tell the story? Let me just, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to set Bill up and then you can finish the story. Are you a UFC fan, Bill?
I am. I used to cover it. And then I've gotten so busy. I don't cover like I used, but I know Dana to a certain degree. And yeah, I've been to a bunch of yes.
So if I drop a name, you should probably know the fighter. He's not an unknown. Josh Berkman.
Yep.
Okay. He is on the podcast. That episode drops in a couple of weeks here on the channel. I'm going to leave it at that, Nick.
So I am in the, what, 3 days in having COVID or something, right? I'm like not thinking clear.
This is months ago, mind you.
And I'm like, come up with this great idea. Like, I want to have an exhibition fight with Josh Berkman. So I challenge him. And then I'm like, well, let's bring him out to Grants Pass. We'll do it in Grants Pass, Oregon. We'll film it. And we'll sell it to Netflix or something. So, yeah, I threw the gauntlet down on Josh Berkman in the midst of a COVID crisis. I'm like, not thinking clearly. And JP goes and table tennis.
Bottom line, though,
I think a table tennis.
Berkman agreed, and that fight was actually And he was going to come out. It was like a week ago, but our area of the world, actually, we have the glorious. We're known right now for being the hotbed of the new Delta variant COVID infection. So we pushed it all back.
COVID rates in the country where we live.
Do you guys know the name Pat Miletich? Do you know that name from MMA circles? He trained a bunch of guys back in the day. He was like an old fighter in the 90s. And he used to have a gym in Eastern Iowa. And I went there once to train because I boxed a little bit. I wanted to get in shape when I was young. I didn't drink as much as I do now. I didn't look like a dad bod guy. And I showed up and those guys kicked the living crap out of each other so much. I'm like, you know what? I was a newspaper writer then. I'm just going to write about this. And for I'm so glad because they would have broken me in half. So, Nick, good luck.
That's right. But it's still happening.
There's more to this. So when I threw that challenge out, I think I weighed about 275, 280. I was just starting to lose some weight. So I took up jujitsu, started training super hard. I'm down to 210 right now. So
wow.
The man, he's lost 80 pounds.
I've been told if I can last a minute and a half, I have a future in the UFC. And I told that person, no.
Oh, I thought that was your wife talking to you, but
never mind. My wife said, don't do this.
Right. Are you, like, I mean, I have you trained? Do you think you have enough, the sort of array of fighting skills to?
Absolutely not. Not even I know how to run.
There's a cage.
Right. I'll climb the damn cage.
No, and you know Berkman's gonna go, he's not gonna go full bore.
No, it's gonna be fun. Right. I think just the jujitsu has been awesome. The little bit that I've learned so far just with that. And then I wrestled in high school. I boxed for a long time. So I've got a little bit, but not anywhere near what Berkman's got.
He's gonna Berkman's like, here, Nick, here is your ass.
Yeah. So my doctor actually told me we need to hold off until this COVID scare is done, just in case Berkman does put me in the hospital, because
There's no room.
Seen by a doctor for like 20 hours if I end up in the hospital.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. And I was like, well, thanks, doc. Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, but smart ping pong, Nick. Funny. So I was going to tell you, for fun, when people come and tell me that they're really good at ping pong and they want to play, I'll play them left-handed and usually win. But if they're okay and they're doing all right, then I'll be like, oh my gosh, I forgot I'm right-handed.
I'll play you left-handed.
And then, come on, baby. All right. Good.
I will play left-handed the whole time.
No. I want the best of Ryder.
All right, so when this is going to happen,
I am left-handed. All
dressed up.
Oh, like well, okay.
John McEnroe, little short tennis shorts, tight tank tops, ooh, headband.
You want to go 80s style?
Yeah. I mean, I can grow a fro. I had a fro like 3 months ago. I'll have big old curly hair.
Yeah. We got to go real deal, man. We can't just.
Right. You know, I'm wearing those thick neon. Yes.
Little tiny short shorts, tight tank tops.
White.
All white.
Yeah, I want to be intimidated. I want to know this is for real.
No, it's fine. I did the same thing with a buddy of mine. His name's Jay Rapp. He was a Division I doubles tennis player at Nebraska, I believe, back in the 90s. Won a title. You can look it up. I think it's Nebraska. If I got the college wrong, Jay, I'm sorry. He's really good. And we did the same type of event locally, very small here in Southern Oregon, for the Ethan Jostad Foundation. It's cancer for kids. And he talked all his smack too. And he played tennis and he's an actual legitimate collegiate champ. And I wiped the floor with him.
Are you like Forrest Gump? Is it, we're going to have some Forrest Gump style?
I can slam it from any angle, close, back, side, whatever. I haven't played in a while, but that's no excuse. I hadn't played in a while when I whooped on Jay Rapp. So if this happens and when it happens, let me say when it happens, there will be training involved, and that's going to be some good montage video right there.
Okay.
And I got my kids to cheer.
I'm just telling you, the last guy who did this with me did it with basketball, young athletic guy that was my board op when I was in LA. And I was like, all right, man. And a bunch of people came out. We had a crew. I beat that poor bastard 11-0. And every year I tweet out on the anniversary, I tweeted at him. just to let them know. I mean, I'm sure that won't happen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, no, that's all right. Talk it up, man. Talk, 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 talk. I love it. I love it. I'm just telling you the history. Oh, no, no. I'm excited, man. This is, I'm not kidding. This is a great cause we can come up with. And, you know, bringing two together, we'll make it happen, man, in the future. I'm thinking springish next year when the weather's nice.
I'm willing to get my ass kicked in table tennis for a good cause.
Absolutely. And so am I.
All right.
But it's not going
to
happen.
We should bring this this little challenge to Vegas. I think we should meet in Vegas.
Do it inside the octagon.
Ooh.
Because we got some friends. I don't know if you know about the Tough Nuff, the minor leagues at UFC.
Yeah.
Of course, they've been on hold because of COVID. But we have some friends that basically run that show. And we are going to actually do some episodes of the podcast in the octagon as well with some of the fighters who are dads. I can think of no better way to do it than put a ping pong table inside the octagon as well.
That's right.
All right.
Maybe even Matt Phillips with Arena Wars, man. He just got that NBC contract. I don't know if that's going to be against the CBS, but oh yeah. Okay, man, I'm in. I'm excited. Right. Let's shift gears, man. Are the kids down for ping pong?
No, I actually haven't. I was thinking, I have not taught them. I have not taught them the ping pong yet. I need to get on that because we've just got access to a table at a place we go sometimes.
Yeah, that's how I learned, man. My big brother, he was decent. And we had a ping pong table inside the community pool area in the condominium village I grew up in, Thousand Oaks, California. That's where I grew up, by the way, Ventura County.
Oh, yeah.
And I just spent every summer, every waking minute there from probably 9 years old to 18. And then one day I beat Big Brother when I was like 15. And he never beat me again. And I took off and then it was all about, can I beat JP? And no one could. Ever. I've lost like 3 matches in 20 years, just saying.
I know it doesn't bode well for me.
but there is going to be that time. Here, I told me I'd get off of it, and here I am keep going. There'll be the time that, you know, I do talk enough garbage and talk enough smack where I will lose. And if it is to Bill Ryder, well, man, I can't think of a better opponent.
We'll see.
Nick, what you got, man?
I'm just basking in this greatness that's going to happen. I can't wait.
I know, right? When was your first time you cracked open a mic on radio? Where were you? How old were you? And how did you get to that?
Really late in the game. So my sort of crazy, weird story is I was a newspaper writer. I covered politics. I covered Bill Clinton. I once like cornered him at a urinal when he was going to the bathroom, is my claim to fame.
I didn't inhale.
Yeah, I'm what's going on? Take a pee. And kind of randomly got into sports writing. Got a big break to cover LeBron James when he went down to Miami in 2010-11. My God, it's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And had never spoke. So I was 32 maybe at that age. Had never spoken on the radio. And a show called The Loose Cannons, when Pat O'Brien and Steve Hartman used to be on at Fox Sports Radio, maybe halfway through that season, asked me to come on. I'd never been on the radio. I'm like, sure. Okay. I was a guest. And then at the end of the year, a guy named Don Martin, who runs Fox Sports Radio nationally, offered me a chance to go and do a radio, to be the third host on a radio show with two great guys who, like most radio hosts, like the mic and don't like to share the mic. So I think in the first two segments, I said three words that got that got shouted down. And that was 9 years ago. And somehow, I don't know, I got a weekend show, and then I just, you know how radio is, it kind of worked out. So I came to it really late in life. And the first time I really hosted, I was in a studio alone in Kansas City, Missouri. Two guys were talking over me. I didn't say a single word the first segment. And the producer of the show, a guy named Sam Batesh, who's now a good friend of mine and my boss, comes down the line, right? And I'm super nervous. He goes, hey, that was LA fashion. That Bill, that was beautiful. It was magic. I love everything you're doing. You're so talented. It's so great. You love it. Just maybe talk. Just a word or two. Just start there and say more words. I didn't say anything I woke up one day because I was living in Kansas City, and I woke up one day and I was living in LA doing TV at night, radio during the day, and America's amazing, man. Life is good. I'm a pretty blessed dude.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've been doing it like 20 years, and I wouldn't say I'm tired of talking behind the mic. I'm good at it. I like it. It's my friend. We love it. But Nick over here, for the first season or two of these shows, I was like, Nick, you really, you got to co-host. The very definition means you need to talk.
It's hard.
He's gotten much better. I'm an intimidating voice, but I'm not past. I welcome it. If anyone comes on this show and decides they just want to chat the entire hour and I don't have to, totally okay with it. And
Arnold, he did that.
Yeah, we had Tom Arnold on.
He's a talker.
Oh, he is. And you should check that episode out if you ever get an hour out of your day. You're driving, man. It's it's interesting. We'll just put it that way. Very, very interesting. I can't believe that man is not in jail. I'm sorry, Tom.
That's right. Or like he doesn't owe his wife, like his ex-wife, millions of dollars. Like,
isn't Tom Arnold from Iowa? Is that am I thinking that right? I'm gonna Google it.
It's I think so. Or somewhere in that area, maybe Wisconsin.
I think his sister
Ohio. She was like the meth queen of
Of Iowa, where I'm from. I'm from Iowa. I mean his sister did go to jail.
Oh yeah. They had she had a Netflix documentary on her.
I haven't seen it yet. I have loved ones who knew her in that capacity in Iowa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
I'm not gonna dig any deeper on that one, Bill.
Don't ask.
Okay, I'm not digging on that one.
But hey, definitely watch Tom's documentary on his sister, though. It's actually really good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm actually getting into documentaries. I've never watched them, and I've watched a bunch lately.
Me too. I'm all about the Netflix documentaries. I watched.
It's our age, you guys. It's our age.
I would much rather watch that than This Is Us.
I've never seen a minute of that
show. Neither have I.
And now I know that, like, the guys. Sorry, if you haven't seen it, turn this off. The guy dies. I was like, I don't want to watch that crap. I know.
When he died, I was like, damn it. This is the saddest show in the whole world.
Yeah, in a fire? Is that like what? Everyone's crying one day at work? But Never watching this.
My lady watches it. So, of course, I get to hear the rundown of every show she ever watches that I don't watch because, of course, I want to know, right? But so I get to hear about it. But apparently it's a pretty unique show. And the fact that, yes, he died, but it's kind of like Lost where they like, we're going to bring you back, but film an entire separate area of your life. So you're still in the show. Well, just this happened in the 70s or something along those lines.
So they go back and tell the story of when the kids were little, then they tell the story when they're adults and the dad ties in. It's a good show. I'm not going to lie.
How do we get from kids to talking about This Is Us?
I don't know.
Nick, I blame Nick.
Ventimiglia on the show, name drop.
I have a question. I'm reeling it back in here for the kids. How did you as a father and the wife, you know, being parents, navigate last year with your kids in school in LA and California and COVID? How did that personally work out in your family?
It was really hard. I was in New York and my career was going really well, right? Like we moved to New York. I got my own TV show. I had my own radio show at night for 4 hours. I was doing a bunch of stuff, big CBS, and I never saw my kids. I literally would leave my house in Brooklyn at 8 a.m. and get home at 11 p.m. And then I would, you know, on Saturday be playing with my kids. I would fall asleep on the floor. So one day my wife was just like, we're going back to LA. I had permission to go back. I didn't want to uproot my kids from school. My daughter was thriving in Brooklyn. My son was not. So when we moved back, we were sort of like, all right, it's a reset. Daddy's going to be around a lot more. I compacted my work schedule so I could be home for dinner and like actually be a father and be around. And a short time after that, the whole world shut down. So for us, we got a little bit lucky in the sense that we'd had 2 years and I love my kids and we're super close. And my kids are close to me where I wasn't around very much and they didn't see me and I didn't get to have dinners with them. So for us, we got pretty lucky that like being stuck together in a house for 5 or 6 months, at least for me, was kind of a strange blessing. And we live in LA and we have this little beach. We have a little beach cottage, right? So it's tiny, but we have a great little location. We have an amazing yard. So we spent all of our time outside. We drove all over LA and looked at the Hollywood sign and all the crap you'd never see because it was a zombie movie. There were nobody on the show. I mean, we would go up in the Hollywood Hills and just pull over at the height of the pandemic in the middle of the street and look out because nobody was up there. My wife and I started cooking more often. My son, and we're pretty open about it, has dyslexia, which we had discovered pretty like right at the start of the pandemic. And so it allowed us to really work with him on just how his brain needs to process information in a different way. So he started to thrive. Like I know it's not true for everybody. And we all got COVID the very first few weeks of the pandemic and got really sick and then we're okay. We had a pretty amazing experience because I was around. We were able to help my son with sort of what he specifically needed for his education. I'm really close with my kids, but hadn't seen them a lot, right? So we got to play tennis together and we got to walk along the beach and it wasn't as bad for us as it might have been for other people.
That's good to hear. Was that the catalyst for you no longer doing the evening show?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So
I remember listening to you signing off that night.
Oh, so sad. I love that show. I mean, I like that show and the crew that I worked with, you know, it was like family, and it's kind of luck and kind of magic to find a show that works and the audience likes it and the people you work with you love. And I've done radio shows. I've had hosts that I hated and it's miserable. So this was a different experience. And what happened was, I'll just tell you, I don't care. I have two jobs. I work at CBS Sports Radio in the morning and CBS Sports in sort of the evening. And I work under contract like you probably do, right? And so basically my deal was coming up in a year and I was offered a 4-year deal, which is a long time in our business. A long time, guaranteed, right? And it was good timing with the pandemic, as it turned out, just before the pandemic. But I had to cover the NBA again full time, give up my TV show, cover the NBA, and that meant couldn't do radio at night. It was a really hard decision,
yeah.
But just financially and job security. Like if I didn't have kids or my kids were off in college, I wouldn't have done it, frankly, because I love that show. So yeah, I thought I was done with radio, and then they came back to me, I guess 8 months later, a year ago now. And offered this sort of time slot during the day, but yeah, when I signed off on that show, man, I was so depressed because radio when it's great is the best thing on earth.
Yeah,
just like radio when it's like a marriage probably. When it's amazing, it's amazing, and when it's awful, it makes you want to bash your skull on the wall.
Yeah, but I was in that bashing my head against the wall point right pre-COVID. So we're talking January 2020, and. Yeah. I was thinking about and trying to navigate how I'm going to exit this particular company when they did it for me.
It's weird how those mixed hidden blessings.
Right, sometimes. Right. And it was scary, don't get me wrong. But literally next week, everyone got canned or put on furlough anyway because of COVID. So right. I probably would have been on the chopping block regardless because I made the most money. Of the people right. that work there. So like, hey, let's get rid of him. Yeah. It's radio. But I started my own radio business. And it's called Pirate Radio. It's if you are sipping drinks in a tiki bar somewhere in South Florida or the Caribbean, and there's music playing in that tiki bar, that is what Pirate Radio is. And it's a streaming service. We've got over 100,000 listeners worldwide on a daily basis.
Oh, that's great.
So I decided I had to unlearn everything I learned in radio and relearn it a different way because now I had no rules and I had no boss. I was my own boss. And anyway, Pirate Radio, it's awesome. Check it out. It's streaming. That's what I do along with this podcast and about 17 other jobs these days. But I get it. It's difficult. And I was very sad too. And then I was so super stoked when I got to hear you back on the show. And then they freaking yanked it out from under me again.
Business, I know. It's because you know how this works. I mean, we're national. And so at night we were cleared in a lot of places.
Yep.
And we're not cleared as many during the day. And that's the other thing. I've worked for good people and bad people. And I work for really good people, both on TV and radio. And that's a huge difference maker. But I miss the old show. I mean, we were 4 hours of a lot of radio, but I love like that crew, the three guys I worked with are among my closest friends. I mean, it's just, and you know how it goes. Sometimes there are people I worked with at another shop that are on the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
Our interpersonal relationship. So
I also miss, and I haven't heard from him since, but Scotty Farrell. Is he even doing radio anymore?
Yeah, I know Scotty left, right? Scotty left shortly after I did. I think like right at the exact same time. I should know this. Is it Sports Grid? He's a really good dude, talented dude. Yeah, he's on, but he's not on where I live. So I haven't heard Scott
right. in a while. So yeah, it's just crazy how you like something and love something and then they're gone. Unless of course you're Howard Stern and you make millions and you can be on anything everywhere.
Yeah. Howard's doing okay.
He's doing all right. That's
doing all right, man.
That's like the one radio guy in the history of the world that when everyone thinks it's funny, you know, I'll go in here. And what do you do for a living? I'll work in radio. Oh, you're JP. Yeah, I hear you. And then they think all Howard Stern money. All of a sudden, you're so wealthy. I'm like, no, I'd probably do better off working in In-N-Out, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, still doesn't matter though. There's something to be said about doing what you love versus not. It's not a job to me. It's life, and I absolutely love it. And that's why this guy, it's where I met him. And he decided, hey, can we do a podcast? Middle of the pandemic. You work in radio. You can know how to do all these things. We should do a podcast. Here we are like 16 months later, and Bill Ryder's on the show.
I love it. Freaking crazy.
And he's about to get his ass kicked by Berkman.
That's right.
We had Randy Couture on, and he even said it'd be a good idea.
Couture's a good guy.
He is. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I meant the Chuck Norris thing, dude. Sorry. Yeah, I threw it off there. Nick, we have a little segment we like to do near the end of a podcast, Bill. It's kind of a radio segment. He doesn't understand that, but it's the Fast Five. We're going to ask you five questions. Don't think about it. It can be one-word answers. I don't need to train Bill.
I'm the drill. Right. I'm ready.
You need to train me.
I'm even going to zip up my hoodie to get ready.
I've been trying, and I might throw in a couple of my own afterwards just because.
Okay.
All right.
Are we ready? Let's do this. Favorite athlete that you have interviewed?
LeBron James.
Okay. Who is going to the Super Bowl this year?
The Kansas City Chiefs. You want both sides?
I want both.
Chiefs Rams.
Ooh.
That's a safe bet. Yeah. That's a very safe bet.
I'm still going for Niners. They're going to make it somehow.
They're good. I mean, maybe. That's a good division.
He's a Niner fan. Yeah.
Favorite meal to cook for your kids?
A Catalan dish. We're into Catalan food randomly. That is a whole chicken separated into 8 pieces with like an onion garlic base and like an orange flavoring, among other things.
Dude, I'm in. When you're done with the ping pong thrashing I'm going to give you, can you make that for us?
I can cook. I can cook, actually. All right. You got it.
So I'm rocking the keto thing, and that sounds like right up my alley.
It's so good.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It takes like 8 hours to make, but I just open some beer and just like chill. And
imagine fly or take a boat over to Catalina and make that Catalan dish on Catalina.
Oh, yeah.
You get an inception-y.
Ooh, there we go.
All right, get going.
Funniest parenting fail.
Oh, man. When my daughter – am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Fuck.
Yeah.
when my daughter – so I swear too much. And when my daughter was 4, she was in her room getting ready for daycare. And my wife and I were watching. So I'm like, oh, it's so cute, sweet little moment. She's like, I'm a princess, and I'm going to go to school. And then she went to put her sweater on. And she goes, I can't get my fucking sweater on. And my wife looks at me and is like, you fix it.
He's got a same story that just happened.
Yeah.
With his 1 year old.
Yeah. You're 1 year old. That's early. You got up early.
Which one? I'll tell the masking one. We're at Walmart, right? And so my daughter is like totally against masks and against the vaccine. And she goes to church and stuff all the time, which there's nothing against church, but her church is very anti-vax, anti-mask. And I'm like, Emma, don't be an idiot. Wear your mask. And my little guy heard that. So we're in Walmart a couple hours later, and some lady walks by us not wearing a mask, and he points and goes, idiot. And I'm like, oh, shit. But, yeah, or like I'll drop something while I'm cooking, and he'll be like, oh, shit, Dad. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
All right, that reminds me of my second parenting fail. Same sort of thing. I was in Kansas City, and I was in a car, and a guy like almost hit me and my kids with his car, and then like – flicked me off, so I sped up. I shouldn't have to the light with him, and I rolled me. He's like, "Fuck you, asshole!" And I roll my window. My kids in the back, and I go, "I got 2 kids in the car." I didn't think about it. And he like looked horrified and drove off. So the next day, we're driving. Somebody cuts us off, and I hear my daughter in the background. He's 3. Go, dude! I got 2 kids in this car, man. And now, whenever anything happens in the car, both my children will yell at 12 and 9. Like if I cut someone off or I honk at someone, dude, I've got 2 kids in this car. Because kids are impressionable.
Sponges.
It's crazy. All right, last question. Right. You could have a billboard with anything on it. What would it be?
Oh, man. I hate the ego of this, but it would be listen to Rider Than You on Odyssey's app. That's what it would be. I want to like lie to you.
I love this dude. Holy crap.
Right.
That's the honest answer. Picture me in LA on the 405 with Rider Than You. You should be listening. And, you know, Odyssey app or whatever.
All right.
So okay. When we first started this podcast, within a week, I bought us a billboard on the busiest street in Medford that said the number one parenting podcast in the world. That's amazing. With our fucking pictures on it.
How much did that cost? I want one. How much did it cost?
Well, thankfully, it wasn't that bad.
Like $400 for the month. And it was like one of those rotating billboards that just
digital
comes on every like. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was kind of, it was more of a joke just to piss people off. And
yeah, but you know, me being, you know, kind of a face in this community for many, many, many years. And then, you know, I've had billboards and whatever advertising the stations I've worked on and me and do whatever, but I see that and I read the tag number one parenting pod. And I just look at it. I call them up immediately. I'm still standing in front of it, just staring and going, number one parenting pod. Really? Okay, look, we're good parents and all, but I think that might be a little bit of a reach, dude.
You know what we are now, though? We're in the top 10 in the country in parenting podcasts, so.
Yeah, hey, it was a little foreshadowing. Now, I'm like I said, I'm a fan and I listen to the show religiously when I can. Now that I can, I'm adding a simple question. And yes or no, you don't have to get into detail. You don't even have to answer this one, Bill, but
I'll answer.
Is part of you somewhere deep inside pretty glad that Phoenix didn't win that title?
Yes.
Because of a certain player?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
I made me a bad person.
Oh, no. I get it. I listen. So it's like, I get it. We don't need to go any farther with that, but I had to know. And I was thinking of you, man. I'm like, I had
money on Phoenix. I had a lot of money.
Who wouldn't have, right?
Like from the beginning of the finals, like mm-hmm. I had like 18-1, whatever it was. And we hedged, so we were going to win either way. And I like most of the guys in that team. And I met one of the owners on a flight and I was rooting. You know how like in sports, you think you feel something, but the game reveals it. I was so happy when they lost. That makes me a bad person.
No, I understand, man. Happy. That's great. Nick, I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about and the story behind that afterwards. Speaking of betting, did you hear about the guy who laid a 16 parlay yesterday or over the weekend? He laid a straight money line and he hit 15 of 16 going into last night and he needed Detroit to win. $25 bet, paid $75,000 if it hit, and fucking Detroit loses that game last night. Can you imagine?
He laid it off at all?
It was a $25 bet. All six
to be like, how do you come up with $30,000 to just bet?
Well, no, he bet 20. It was a $25 bet.
Oh, I get it.
But
what I'm saying is like he could have bet
right.
$30,000 in the Packers and just locked in a win or whatever.
Right, exactly. But I read that article yesterday and I was rooting for some random guy I never heard of for Detroit to win last night so he'd hit. But yeah, why are you laying a 16 team parlay? What are the odds?
You're burning your money.
Yeah, right. So I told my lady this story and she immediately, we got an app that was just, Oregon has been very, very anti online betting. And they finally released it a year and a half, 2 years ago, an app. It's called Scoreboard, it's online Oregon lottery betting app. And we're not sponsored by the Oregon lottery app, by the way, just disclose that. Yeah. Can't bet on college ball, but she decided to go, I'm going to do the same thing. And she bet all the dogs next week. $5 bet will pay out $1 million.
Come on.
I'm like, you know what? If you want to throw $5 away, go ahead. But in the small chance that were to hit, it would be the greatest hit in the history of all things, and we'd have $1 million. But I am telling you, honey, the Jags aren't going to win.
If she does happen to win, can we buy a bigger studio?
Yes. And we can buy like four of those right there.
Yes.
Oh, I have a green screen, by the way, if you couldn't tell. That is not my kick-ass studio, Bill. I'm sure you figured that one out.
It was for a minute, and then I was like, oh, it's a green screen. But it's a good one.
Yeah, I know. It looks good. It makes me look very wealthy.
It does. I actually was like, man, that guy's got a lot of guitars.
Oh wait. Was that it for the Fast Five, Nick?
That's it.
Did we get through it?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I got a couple add-on extra bonus from JP. In your opinion, Bill, who, and this is all sports, greatest athlete in the history of all time?
Of all sports?
All sports.
I got, can I go tie? I got, it's either Jordan or Messi. I think it's Jordan.
Okay. Okay. I go a little deeper.
Maybe Muhammad Ali.
That's my choice. Ali.
Yeah. It's a really hard question. That's a great question.
Man, see, I would have gone Sanders. Like he
Dion primetime or Barry.
No, Dion Sanders, baseball and football.
Man,
he was killing it in two different sports.
Yeah, I think for me, I could like geek out over this. It's probably Muhammad Ali, actually, as I think about it.
Are the Raiders going to make the playoffs this year?
No, they're the Raiders. Sorry, dude. I want to be wrong.
I'm going to timestamp this. 55 minutes, 55 seconds.
I want to be wrong. I'm not very often, but I want to be.
And I should know this. Who's your NFL team who you root for?
So I'm a Bears fan, but I also hate them so much with a burning passion I'm very conflicted, but I was raised a Bears fan.
Okay. My lady's a Bears fan, even though she's been kind of switching to the dark side lately with the Raiders, which I don't understand. You can't do that. If you're a fan of a fan, you're a fan. That's it. Period. Drop it.
I'm stuck. I'm like born into it. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I was born into it.
I got no problem with the Bears. I'm trying to go to that game in Vegas as well. That should be good.
Oh man, that stadium's going to be amazing.
Have you been there?
No.
Oh, I took the tour about a month ago before the season started, and they take you into a spoiler alert. Do you not want me to tell you?
Yeah, tell me.
Okay. So they give you the whole tour and they take you into the locker room and then they get crazy strict. Put your phones down and they have security come make sure that your phones are in your pocket. They're not on. Something crazy is going to happen. They dim the lights. You're inside the Raiders locker room and then hologram John Gruden appears and he gives a rah, 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 hoot, rah, go out there, win, et cetera, knock on wood if you're with me. And it's like the technology is so advanced and so good with that hologram that he's there with you. And the entire, tour is, you're like the team and it's really cool. And then they take you into the press box and they take you up where the media goes. And we got to go in the TV box and then they took us on the field and it's just that stadium, man. Other than SoFi, which I hear is more like glitz and glammy stadium, the Allegiant is a pure, pure football stadium, and it's so beautiful and so well laid out.
I'm going to get to each of those this year. I hope. I'm going to try.
Yeah. I'd love to go to SoFi. I'm going to check out the Charger game, hopefully. And if we get Stafford on, who knows? Maybe
we got the hookup.
I'm going to throw, we name drop a lot, but I'm going to absolutely do field passes. Stafford, come on. Exactly. Look us up with your boy. I will lie to him and tell him that I will become a Ram fan if I can get those. Fingers crossed for one day, et cetera, et cetera. But good stuff. All right, man. Well, dude, we are pretty much it there. Are you in this? How far is your studios from your house?
Well, it used to be 15 minutes, but apparently traffic's bad because it took me.
The 405, man.
Yesterday. Yeah, so I'm in Culver City, so it's a 405 or maybe I'll just there's like a Culver route. They call it like 30 minutes.
The 405 is literally the reason I moved to Oregon.
It's a good reason. It's the worst. The 405 is evil.
Unless it's 3:30 to 4:30 a.m., I do not ever want to go on the 405 for any reason whatsoever. It is.
I'm going to be on it 10 minutes after this conversation ends, and it's going to suck.
Yeah, well. My hearts and thoughts and prayers are with you, man. He is Bill Ryder. He is the host of the sports talk show, Ryder Than You, on CBS Sports Radio. He's been an amazing guest. Thank you for taking time out of your day, man. We have a date with Destiny, just so you know. Going to remind you.
Yep, I'm ready.
Train it up. Get that ping pong action. Go left, go right. Do what you got to do. Maybe we can play some doubles. I'll bring a celebrity. Maybe Berkman will agree to be my my teammate, Nick. And then you can... Go.
After he breaks Nick in half.
Yes. <That's
right. laughs> I show up and I've got two fucking casts on my arms and shit. Neck brace.
Oh, thank you so much for making an appearance on Dadcast, man. You've been amazing. Nick, until we meet again. And for everyone watching, whether you're listening or watching on the YouTube channel, please like, up, subscribe, do a lot of stuff, comment, listen to Bill's show. You can check him out on CBS Sports Radio. And you did mention an app, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Bill.
Odyssey app, get on there.
Boom, there it is. And we'll see you all next week.
All right, see ya.